A word from Jesus is all you need to breathe again, to live again. Chains are broken, God is revealed. Raising leaders to transform the world. Dominion City welcomes you today.
Dominion City, the place to be.
John chapter 1 verse 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now let's take the part that has to do with New Testament living. New Testament living. And you will see that there are two elements involved for successful life, Christian life: grace and truth. Knowledge carries 10%. So what I'm even about to teach you now only carries 10% in deciding what you become. Discipline, or what is called character, carries 40%. Look at that. If you don't do something about the environment where you live, half of your potentials will be neutralized, destroyed. Half. No matter how hardworking you are. You know, for example, a politician, you know that there's such a thing as, even when they finish teaching principles at a university, they will tell you there is a Nigerian contest. You know what they are talking about? Environment. Even somebody that is good, like sometimes we talk about, let's bring in the best people to come into politics. But the Nigerian environment doesn't even allow them to win an election. It's not that we don't have good people. So some of them, after trying one or two times, they run away. Now, there is a way to conquer environment. We're going to study that. There's a way to conquer it. There's a way to control your environment. And what is that thing? System. Learning how to build systems. There is a way to conquer yourself, because indiscipline is a problem in yourself. And there is also a way to conquer ignorance. We're going to tackle them. The first thing we are going to tackle, the first one, no. Usually on the first day in this program, we get into that first thing. Break me. We have to get into it. The problem is the problem. There is only one major thing standing between you and success. It's called indiscipline. Write it down. It's what is standing between you and what you want to be, what you want to accomplish in life. Now, if you get discipline and get knowledge, you'll be successful. Even if you don't have systems. But if you get system, you will fast track, multiply, and speed up your success. Without a transport system, we can still come here. You can trek. But what a car does is that it gets that thing done fast and done accurately. I say, can you imagine me trekking from Lagos to come and deliver this lecture? A transport system that goes by air made me get here within 15 minutes. That's what system does. But then it is discipline that creates system, and system controls environment. It's knowledge and discipline that create system, but then system gives you a leverage. In other words, you don't know how to do it, you can't do it. When you go abroad, it's not that the white people are more disciplined than Nigerians, but they live in an environment where the systems work. The power of environment is awesome. Let's talk about what we're here for. Now, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Look at the New Testament compared to the Old Testament. The Old Testament is where people are given a set of rules and regulations. But they didn't have grace. They didn't have grace. But the New Testament is where we are given a set of principles, rules, if you will, values. But we are also given grace to enable us to live it. So here, we have instructions, but we have the ability to do it. In the Old Testament, for example, they will be told not to commit adultery, and you are telling that to a fallen man. But the man you told not to commit adultery does not have the Holy Spirit to help him. You see, Holy Spirit is not under truth, it's under grace. So, success in life is simply grace plus principles. That's what you are reading here. Truth is dealing with principles and values. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Success is simply grace plus principle. If a person will live a successful Christian life, he will have to balance his life between those two wings. Without any of them, he won't fly successfully. The second question comes up. What is the ratio of grace to principle in building a sound Christian life? A successful Christian life is 10% grace and 90% principles. Write it down. At this juncture now, I want to make a very important statement. The reason Martin Luther and other great reformers preached the gospel in Europe and they produced reformation whose impact lasted for 500 years. And preachers in Nigeria preach and the people that are preaching backslide while the preachers are alive. Of course, they backslide under your nose. Is that in Nigeria, we preach 90% grace, very little of principles. We don't teach values here. We don't teach principles here. Everything is God will do it. Holy Ghost will move. That's why this country is the way it is. The church is the salt. But the Nigerian salt has no impact. The church is that salt that reforms society. It's a light that illuminates the nation. But the Nigerian salt is not producing effect. Now, see the reason why. The ratio is 10% grace, 90% principles. In the days when some of you who are elderly were in primary school and secondary school, that is how it used to be. So that if somebody is really a Christian, he's known by his morals. Not known by going around telling people I'm born again. It's the behavior that advertises the person. In those days, sometimes after a while, some people will start saying, maybe this one is scripture, you know, this one is this. Because they see the behavior. Now, in those days, they used to teach things like the Ten Commandments. They used to teach a lot of values, a lot of morals, a lot of that. Then you now teach us also the fact that Jesus died for us on the cross. Grace is 10%, but a lot of the building of the human person, the building of character, the building of God's nature into people. We have reversed it this way. Pentecostals have turned it. And it's not Pentecostalism. It's America that did this damage. And look at what he has done to their society. Pastors are marrying fellow men. All kinds of things are going on in that place. See what he has done to marriages. The Bible said wisdom, any knowledge you teach, is justified by her children. What it means is that when you teach something, after a season, check the effect it has produced. You now know if what you're teaching is sound or not. What we do here is that we don't measure the impact of what we're preaching. We just get excited about preaching. Transformational people check what is the effect If I teach people this thing, what will you produce out of the people? Wisdom is justified by her children, the product. The people that imbibe your teaching, what happens to them? What kind of life do they live? That's how you know if you're successful or not. So when a message is preached over a season, a decade, in just 10 to 15 years, the harvest of every message appears. To change this Nigerian thing now, all we need to do is change what is being sown inside the society, inside the schools, inside the lives of our churches. In 10, 15 years, you see a new country. The corrupt Nigeria happened in about 10 to 15 years. There were Pentecostal pastors going to Aso Rock to pray for all those corrupt people, empowering them to do more because it's money that drives them, not values. If you don't know the power of truth, the power of values, the power of principles, is one of the most potent force on earth. When people are newly saved, because children depend more on milk, they can't handle solid food, we give them 90% milk grace. Grace is milk. Everyone say grace is milk. What we are doing is that we are feeding a whole nation of adults milk, 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 till we have destroyed them. Children are given 90% milk, very little, if any, of food. But as they start growing, you change it. 50% milk, 50% solid food. As they move further to mature them into adult, you turn into 90% solid food, very little of milk. If you still go about drinking milk like you used to drink when you were a child, you won't live long. If an adult, my age and all that, is still drink, you know, children eat 8 times a day and all those kind of things. Drink breast milk, drink the one they put in, all kinds of milk. What will happen to him, dog? What is the effect of that?
Well, an adult requires water and carbohydrates and then a little bit of protein to survive. If an adult starts taking a whole lot of proteinous foods, maybe like egg, it will enhance fatty foods like cholesterol in the blood vessels, and which is not good for the person.
But a developing child, his brain is still developing, organs and different things, need a lot of that. Of course, even for babies, they can't even digest food, so you dare not try it. So we give them milk. So when people, you go to get people saved, you take a message of grace. When you get them saved, you feed them on grace for a while. Somewhere along the line, you have to change that food or you destroy that person. When an adult still says, I will commit this sin, I will repent after, you see he is the overfed grace. He has been bloated up with grace that he doesn't have any atom of discipline and character in him. So he even plans how he will repent and goes ahead to commit the sin. He has misunderstood Christianity. Success in life is 90% principles, 10% grace. Let me work on it a little. If we're able to get to discipline, we'll work on it. I'm trying to work on the first one first. Let me work on it a little. Principles are called the greatest secret of success on earth. Write it down. The greatest. The course we do here is called the greatest secret of success. That's the first one. The greatest secret of success is principles. The discovery and application of principles is the greatest secret of success in this world. That is what has made the developed nations developed. The opposite of it is why we are still suffering in Africa. African Christianity is governed by superstition. You know what we used to do in African religion? We have just rebaptized some of those things and we are doing it in church. For example, I came from this program. There is a book they were advertising when I got there. The book that killed witches. So I told them, get me a copy. Because I tried to read some of those to understand the mindset of pastors that are looking after God's flock. And what they're saying, the final year of witches and wizards. The time you read this book, the witches in your, these are the kind of things. It's all around us. What is the greatest secret of success on earth? Write it down. That life is predictable. What? What? That life is predictable. That's the greatest six. That's the greatest discovery of human being. Other things you call discoveries are now based on it. Life is predictable. Why is it so? Because life is governed by fixed laws. There is no respecter of person or environment. What does it mean when you say that life is predictable? What it means is that nothing happens for nothing. If somebody is succeeding, there are some things he's doing right. If somebody is failing, there's something he's doing wrong. In Africa, when you are not doing well in business, you don't think like this. What you think is, somebody is trying me from the village. Have you seen the kind of Christianity we have here? Superstition. Fear-driven. That's why even some of them in Pentecostal, they are going to places looking for who will tell them what it is. Life is predictable. If something is working, there is something you are doing right. What it means that life is built on fixed concrete laws and principles. That's how God made this place. You know about laws of gravity, but as you know about gravity, that's how in every area of life there are laws. What's the title of what I'm talking about? The greatest secret of success on earth. Now, what is the other thing I want to talk about? Building a system of what? Discipline. But you can see the order. This is how it flows. So, I think it's important for me to give you the foundation of the 10% before we talk about how it is later converted. Okay. Remember where we started. Life is 90% principles and 10% what? Grace. Now, I'm going to make a second statement, and I'll see how you can relate with all of them. Life is 98 principles, 2% miracles. How does that match with the first statement? Is the question. I've told you that life is 90% principles. You know what we have found out? That when you get to grace again, 8 out of 10 of what produces grace are also governed by principles. Did you hear what I just said? Eh? For example, what principle produces remission of sin? First, repentance and confession of sin. There are a little more than that, but I'll just take that too. If there is genuine repentance and the man acknowledges and confesses his sin, it will be forgiven him. Now, if somebody now dies and is condemned, he goes to hell, even though Maybe what he did is not even as bad as the other person. Why did he go? Is it because God changed his mind? God didn't want to forgive him? No. Either he did not understand the principle of repentance, or he did not know how to apply it. Okay. Let's get back to that place. There are situations where people repented, confessed, and they are still punished. Why? Because there's another principle of forgiveness which states that the man who wants forgiveness must forgive other people. So, if my business is tight and I'm asking God, help me, forgive me, whatever I've done, maybe I made a mistake sometime and things have not been going well, and I'm crying, God, forgive me. It's not the crying that is the problem why God is not forgiving. God is not like you who hold grudges. The issue is that there are principles that govern what you are asking. Principles are not respecter of person. Once those conditions are met, the result shows. That's how you know it's a principle governed area. Once there are no conditions, there are no laws governing it, it means it's left to emotion, or if the man who is doing it likes, he will do. If he doesn't, the world that God created is a world of laws and principles. God is the author of the rule of law. He's so powerful that he said he has exalted his word above himself. What God actually said in the Bible is that he himself is not above the law. Can I say it again? God Almighty said by his mouth that he has exalted his word, principles, he exalted it above his name. What he is saying is that he himself is subject to the laws that he made. That's why scripture will say things like this: be holy, for I, the Lord your God, I am. Though you will find God make a law for other people that he is not obeying. One time, a woman had a problem and she ended up in a wheelchair, and the preacher was praying for her, but she was so controlled by guilt, because healing will not happen where guilt is in operation. That's at the personal level. Secondly, healing will not happen where unforgiveness is in operation. Look at those two forces. Guilt is about personal failure. Unforgiveness is about the other person's failure. If any of the two of those laws are in operation in your spirit, it will keep the power of God out. So this time around, it's not about another person's failure, it's her own failure. So she's kept back, because this thing cripples faith. You cannot have guilt and faith at the same time. You have to let God cleanse your guilt. Anyway, the preacher tried nothing. So a preacher that had understanding, that understands the relationship between principles and miracles, that principles control miracles, not the other way around. The man that understands principles will have more miracles. Sat down and explained to her why she's not being healed. That is not that God doesn't want to heal her, but God cannot help her as long as she's in that condition. That she has to allow the blood of Christ to wipe her. But she was saying in her mind that God cannot forgive her. So the preacher quoted something for her. He said, how many times did the scripture expect us to forgive our brothers when they offend us? And the lady said, 70 times 7. That's what the Bible said. Is that true? Eh? But it looks like that 70 times 7 is just for one day. Because it doesn't mean start counting for your wife. Once it reaches 490 times, it's time to deal with that woman. That one is for a day. It has to be a demon that will beat 490 times of an offense in one day. You know, just 24 hours. Person must have woken up and decided that every hour I will offend this man at least 10 times. Because there will be those other times she will be asleep. So if I assume that the person is awake for 12, 14, 16, so if you divide it, you probably find whether it's six times or whatever number of times, have to offend the person. Power. Anyway, here is the point. The man of God said, if God expects us to forgive 490 times a day, do you think we don't even have as much love as him? He is love himself. Do you think that he expects more holiness for man than himself? Do you think he expects higher standard for us than him? If our standard is higher, then we'll be the one to judge him. Look at love. He said, love one another as I have. And he showed his love. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life. Love made him die for us. So he said, if you know any other way to love better than that, show me. That you die for your friend. So he said, love one another as I have loved you. I've shown the example. When it comes to Great Commission, he said, as my Father has sent me, so what? So I left heaven, a whole prince that has everything the world can offer, to come to this mission field that was filled with darkness. So don't complain when you are sent to a tough place. That's what he's telling us. The same way that the same Father sent me into this place, and not only that, I obeyed the Father like unto death. Stop complaining about where God has sent you. Now, if I did not do it, then you can question me. Are you seeing what is going on here? When it comes to your wife, he said, love your wife as Christ does what? Love the church. When it comes to submission, he said, woman, submit to your husband as the church does what? In everything, there is no law God put that he does not obey. Principles are superior to personalities. This is why, even if you are the biggest man of God and you start breaking principles, they will break you and God will not bat an eye. God does not condemn lawlessness, not even from preachers. Because he will not allow it for himself. He will not allow it for his son, Jesus Christ. He will not even allow it for the Holy Ghost. Talk less of you. The best angel leading choir in heaven tried it. It threw him down. He's one you call Satan today. You think you on earth can try it? Jesus will say it this way. He said, the scripture cannot be broken. But the beautiful thing about principles, because I like to know the why behind everything. I wanted to know, why did God create a world that is governed by laws? You throw something up, it comes down. There's a law of gravity. Then there's a law of lift that enables aircraft to fly and all that. There are laws everywhere. The law of germination, there's laws of reproduction. If you get the sperm and the egg together, something is going to happen, my friend. See, they ask you now, who gave you baby? You say God. You are correct in a sense, but it's really not God that made that baby. The laws he's put in motion produce that pregnancy. That's why pregnancy can occur while you are sinning against God. Pregnancy can occur even with another man's wife or husband. Pregnancy can occur even during rape. Have you seen? No. And I wanted to know why. Why? It is God though. But see, God created the world in such a way that it can walk with or without him. Write it down. Write it down. God designed the world you live in such a way that it can walk with or without him. In other words, you don't need prayer to be successful. Japanese people are doing it without God. Chinese people are doing it without God. There are in Dubai, they have built successful cities and nations without recognizing Jesus Christ. Why? Because principles of hard work are universal. Principles of law and order are universal. Principles of love are universal. Principles of productivity are universal. Anybody that obeys those principles will be successful, even if the person does not have allegiance to Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you that even know Jesus Christ is failing, you are failing because the person of Jesus will not help you where you are violating principles. 10% of what you need is from the personality of Jesus. 90 is from the principles he taught. Then you see why there are many failures in the church. They're not doing well financially. They're not doing well in many things. But they live in churches. And preachers will be telling them, God will do it. And the truth is that God is not going to do it. God created principles so that people can obey it, apply it, and get definite results. That's why we're telling you, the greatest secret of success in this world is that life is predictable. Life is what? Those of you who went to school, haven't you seen Christian students that are intelligent? Back F, fail. Why? The principle requires reading and studying, and then you perform. When a person has read and studied and prepared well, he cannot ask for grace. He will do well. But these people, he will not read, he will jump up and down, do fellowship, do all the things. He gets there and prays, Lord, don't disgrace yourself, oh, remember your holy name. He bangs F. Then he will come out and say, Pastor, how can this thing be? I pay my tithe. I'm very dedicated to serving God. I don't want to serve God again. Don't serve. Hell is waiting for you. Maybe you have not seen people who tithe faithfully and they are broke. Because maybe your idea is that when you pay tithe, money will fall from heaven to you. No. If you pay tithe but you don't have savings, if you pay tithe, you don't know how to multiply, grow wealth. These are principles that there are people who make money work for them by learning where to put their money, and the money is creating more wealth for them. Why they are doing whatever they are doing? You don't know how to invest. You don't know how to do this. But you pay tight, you will still end up with. Because grace can only push you 10%. You see what I'm teaching now? It goes against the contrary whatever in the whole environment. And I said it among ministers, and one of them said, hey, no, Pastor, what are you saying? Everything is grace. I say, look at your life. Look at your ministry. Why are you here? Church has not grown everything. You can grow church without prayer. Can I say it again? You can grow a very large church without prayer. Of course, let me say it another way. You can grow a very large church without God. You see how shocking it looks? But it's the absolute truth. What you cannot grow is spiritual men. Lutheran club, you think it's prayer that is growing that place? Or when you think it's prayer that is growing it? Your bank, those of you who came from bank, is it prayer that grew your customer base? Don't do marketing. Don't do aggressive pushing and see why the competition will not drive you out of the market. Sit down in church and be praying for souls and don't market the kingdom. Jesus said, go out there to the lanes, to the streets, to the highway, and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. That was said in Luke chapter 14, where a man threw a party and the seats were empty. He didn't say, start praying that people will come and fill it. He said, the key is that we have prepared what the people need, but it has to be marketed, that there is marketing involved in advancing the kingdom. There is marketing. There is branding. There is packaging involved in this. Go out there. That's what the banks are doing. And whether they are Christian or not, whether it is Islamic bank or not, he pushes his product, people buy into it, and he treats the customers well. He produces customer loyalty. Now, he doesn't treat his customers well. After a while, they move to another person's whatever. Now, you can also be pastoring a church. You will pay the price to develop, to add value. Because one thing about, you know, one of the things I've learned about ministry, when people come where I am on a Sunday, they must live with heavy substance. Because you cannot tell me that you have a restaurant cockroach in the water today, you apologize. Forgiveness does not change people. Changing is what changes people. Repentance is change. If somebody says, I want to change, that's what it means to repent. You have not repented until you have changed. Turn your behavior. That's what changes people. It's not forgiving people. That's why God never gives forgiveness until there is repentance. And what he means by repentance, until you have changed what you are doing. So if you say, I've repented, but you're still doing what you're doing, you have not been forgiven. God does not save in sin. He saved from it. Oh, as a doctor, what do people do to sick? Is it not to save the man from it? And so what you do is you destroy the disease. That's what God is doing. Not saving you in it. Stay with it. Be doing what you like, but you are, no. No, my friend, 1,000 times no. So we come back to that statement. You see, life is 98% principles, 2% what? Miracles. Which is a dangerous thing. Let me now come to it. What has happened is that the 2% miracles that happen, especially in Pentecostal charismatic world, we advertise it so much that everybody now think 2% is 100%. Each time somebody gives a testimony, he says, brethren, something amazing happened. After I paid that tithe, do you know we were broke? And, you know, but at the last minute, when landlord was to throw us out, one man just knocked on the door. He said, God told him to give us this money. And that's how he gave us this 30,000. And we went and paid the land. Praise the Lord for me. For every 2 person that give such testimony, there are 98 that were thrown out. I don't think you are hearing what I'm saying. For each one that says how I was traveling and the vehicle tumbled. But brethren, praise the Lord for me. I found myself in the forest running. And after a while, I realized, I thought it was my ghost. So I pinched myself. I saw that it is my rim. So I decided to run back to where the accident occurred. And everybody died. I was the only one that came out. Praise the Lord for me. The whole church was shocked. For every 2 person that gives that, there are 98 that died. And there are Christians like you. Some are pastors. Let me tell you what it is. There are speed limits. There are principles that govern driving. You see me, as long as it's on earth, you carry me in the car, you don't do 110, more than that. You know, I have never seen wizard tumble a car that is parked. All these witches on the road that suck blood, I've never seen any of them tumble a vehicle that is parked. I've never seen them tumble somebody that is driving well, gently. I've never seen them come and kill somebody that is careful, who is properly positioned, who knows maybe I'm in the express, trailers are passing here. For example, look at the simple law of driving. Whenever you're following a truck and is climbing a mountain, overtake him. Those brakes is not like the type of brake you have in your car. It can go wrong at any time and you will be the one it will use as wage. So if he's climbing, go in the front. And if you're in his front and he's going down, it's either you go further, let other vehicles be behind you, or let him go behind him, let him be. Because those vehicles can speed though when they are going down. Don't be in front of that thing. When it's, because you will be the wage. And you know, those big trucks, they turn this small thing into. It's a simple law of driving. It has nothing to do with. But that thing has saved many lives and has destroyed so many, including pastors and who don't know it. Scripture said, my people are destroyed for what? The foundation of success is knowledge. And what we mean by knowledge is knowledge of principles and values. Until you have it, you are not educated. You are not educated. You are just an illiterate walking about. Banks do not succeed by prayer. They succeed by the application of well laid down principles. Business do not succeed by prayer. If you like, live in church. They succeed by the application of well laid. Now, when you have applied principles, you can also now ask God for. And this is the reason why a lot of grace-driven people die. Because They keep over pushing it because grace is covering it. They keep over pushing it. They keep over pushing it. And they hit the dead rock. And that day, sometimes there is no second chance. Meet a bishop. I don't want to give further. Tell me, I speed and break my distance. I said, sir, life is predictable and I can predict your future. Orthopedic hospital or 6 feet down. He said, Pastor David, why are you so negative? I said, I'm principled governed. It's obvious to me that you are over-pampered child that is grace, that is adult that is still drinking milk. Look at you, a bishop that should be teaching people order. You are the one. And he felt insulted by me. I said, no problem. Exactly January, third week of January, his wife calls me. He has had a ghastly accident and he broke his skull. And when they had him there, I went there and gave them 300,000. That's grace. So that tomorrow when he wakes up, he will preach to the church. God sent a special angel by the name of David. He's not even in our church. But God touched his heart to bring me this 300,000. Because the wife was telling me they don't have enough money to fly him out. And this, and I went and gave them 300,000. And I prayed so much for him. He has been discharged, but he's not yet back in his ministry. He broke bones. One day he was saying, thank you. He was talking to me. He said, thank you. You are different from what I thought. He said, now, all those things you were saying to me, it has entered. I have understood it. The only problem is, I wish God can just get me out of this. How can I be a wheelchair, Pastor? I still have a lot of things to do in ministry. I said to him, what about those that are 6 feet who did what you did? There are some people that never got opportunity to be in wheelchair regret. Have you seen how principles are? It's fixed. But I see at its merciless in delivering judgment, that's how it is in delivering success when you obey it. There's no amount of demon anywhere that can bend the tiniest principles. Let me give you an example. All this prayer for crusade that rain will not fall. I have never seen rainmakers make rain in dry season. God created the seasons. There's a time he allowed rain to fall because farmers need it. Why will you be binding what we need to have food? So when I understood principles, I used to do a lot of that. We'll go and carry equipment, put in it, and rain will come. The only time I'll go and carry a crusade and put in the rain is I will have express instruction from the principal. In that case, he will suspend a natural law to allow us to do that. Anytime natural law is suspended, that's what is called a miracle. Miracles are the suspension of natural laws by the intervention of supernatural laws. And that creates something supernatural, something abnormal. So, years growing, there I have had a lot of equipment destroyed. There are sometimes we finish binding, the rain will fall. You know why? So, after, as I began to mature, you know when you're a child, you think like a child. The Lord said, when will that your foolishness end? He said, church is not only about crusade. There is discipleship. The other thing, like training now. He said, so, concentrate most of the rainy season to do discipleship. Turn the dry season to do crusades. Why can't you use your sense? I created the seasons. Why are you fighting with what I created? You see, but there might be some exceptions. Under such exceptions, tap into this 10% grace. But not that you live every day breaking laws that I put in motion. It will harm you. Have you seen what grace does? If you keep practicing beyond its boundary, it encourages you to now start breaking what? Principles. Say, because I found myself in the bush running. Everybody died. So tomorrow, you go back to speeding. Because angels have been given charge over you. you won't break your foot on the leg. Go and check when Satan asked Jesus to jump down on the basis of that scripture. Jesus told him that any human being that constantly breaks the laws of nature is tempting his maker. That's what he told him. Anybody that constantly violates the laws of nature is tempting his maker. He will pay for it. In my house, if you fall sick, I don't pray. Because prayer is pulling grace. I don't do it. You go to hospital, they examine you and find out what is wrong. Because praying for the person and producing healing has not healed the person. You have only removed the effect without adjusting the cause. I don't think you heard what I said. Let me state one of the principles that happens here. It's called the law of cause and what? An effect. Mm-hmm. One of your brothers developed it, Isaac Newton. Is that Isaac Newton? Newton's law of motion. Yes, Isaac Newton. He developed that. And he developed the three laws of motion. And they asked him, where did you get it? He says, it's from the Bible. That action and reaction are equal and opposite. They say, where is that in the Bible? He said, whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall. And that's what science is using. But it's just a biblical principle. You see what I'm telling you? There are a lot of principles of God that are being applied out there and they are getting results with it. Even some of them don't acknowledge God. Action and reaction are equal and opposite. So if I use a hammer now and hit the wall and keep hitting, after a while the block will develop a hole and it breaks. You look at the hammer, it looks like nothing happened to the hammer. But you keep doing, after a season, what you notice that the head of the hammer too has gone like this. Because each time you hit the block also hit the hammer. Let me put it that way. So, Isaac Newton now said, the implication of this law is that anytime there is a result, there is a cause. Nothing happens for nothing. If you see a particular result here, there is something at this other end that is causing it. It's a law of cause and what? Effect. Effect is the result. So, if the result is good health, then there is something this person is doing here that is producing it. You might check his eating habits. You might check maybe exercise. He drinks water. He does that. For example, my father-in-law, one time, he had a little health problem, you know, this man problem, enlarged prostate. So they brought him to Lagos and we went to check if he's cancerous or, you know, the way they say benign or that. So they found out it wasn't. So they operated on him and removed all that. And he's been fine. Now, what he said to us that day, he said, this is the first time I'm going to hospital. I'm actually in hospital. All these years. I said, what, sir? He says it's the first time. I told Pastor Sarah, there is something we have to find out about your dad. Find out for me his seven most deadly health habits. He said one of them, I've lived with him all the years. He finishes a gallon of water every day. He said one of them, the man is fruit major. He said, and they kept listing for me. I kept copying. Because there is no accident. He wasn't born again. He's not Holy Ghost. It is principles. Another person has Holy Ghost, dies at 43. Dies at 33. Why? Has been breaking laws. But you come to church, you use tongue and cover your disobedience and ignorance. You think he will carry you far? No. So, we now ask, I know other men of his age who don't have anything with prostate. So he got every other place. Like you see his skin shining. You see him, you know, healthy. He doesn't use glasses. Doesn't walk with walking sticks and all of that. But I said, I know a few men of his age who don't have prostate. What did he not get right? Because there is an effect here. At least it's only one. He didn't have stroke. He didn't have other. Because I saw that he obeyed. He don't find fat, cholesterol, the saturated fat in his. He worked well with other. But there is something, an effect. Even though he was a successful man health-wise. But at least there is one effect. So I said, can we find out? And Pastor Sarah found out the things that prevent prostate, and we went to ask him, what about tomato intake? What about this? What about that? He failed. So, young men now, these days now, starting with a lot of men at 60, some at 70, you are just hoping because you attend Dominion City that it won't visit you. Meanwhile, there are things you can start eating now. You can control that. I met Elbuba's father, 109 years old. He doesn't use glasses, doesn't use anything. He doesn't have prostate, he doesn't have anything. And I said, sir, it's true that you are now a Christian. Out of this year, 109, what percentage are you in Christianity? It's not up to 10 years. So it's not Christianity that gave him long life. It's obeying the laws of... So I said, what is the secret? He started telling me, he said, you people talk exercise. I don't do exercise. I do my own exercise with walk. Like Abraham, he said, I carry cattle. By the time we finish walking around to do them, I have done you who spent 3 hours. I can tell, or the ones you are disobeying, I can tell why your life is where it is. So, Isaac Newton said, anytime you don't like the effect, don't worry about the effect. Stop looking for, go back to the cause and adjust the cause, and the effect will adjust. If the effect is that this water is hot, yeah, go back to the cause, is heat, turn off the heat. Open up the whatever that is allowing it not to interact with the environment, because the environment balances temperature. No matter how hot anything is, if you expose it to the environment will bring it down to normal temperature. So go there, turn off the heat first, open it to the environment, allow some time. It will come down. When somebody has temperature, fever is not a sickness. It's a sign warning you that there is something wrong. Another one is pain. Whenever you are feeling pain, it's a sign, it's a warning that there is something wrong. If you take Panadol or painkiller and numb your nerves so they don't warn you and give you the sign of pain, you have not cured anything. You have not cured nothing. The cause is still there, and until it's adjusted, the problem will not stop. So when that painkiller wanes down, the pain jumps up again. You go and take a new one. What you need to do is to go and find out what the cause is. Adjust that cause. What happens to the effect? It adjusts. So in your life, there are areas you're not doing well. Stop looking for who is trying you in the village. Nobody's trying you. Go back to the cause. Nothing happens for nothing. If something is working, something is making it to work. If something is not working, something is preventing it from working. Why are you still where you are now? In your business, in your career, in your Christian life? Why haven't you reached where you should have been? There are laws you are neglecting or breaking. Now, why are some of us successful to the extent that we are? There are laws that you obeyed. Let me give you a secret. Find those things you did that brought you the success you have now. Write them down. You must keep doing them. They will take you, and they will take you, and they will take you. You know why successful people fall? Is they stop doing what brought them the success. Success is not a magic. Failure is predictable. Success is predictable. Simple. Simple. The next principle I want to pull out for you is, you are not yet where you should have been. You are not where you should have been. Go and look over the years and see the things you are not doing right. That is the biggest problem of Africa. When a plane crashes, a white man will do an autopsy. They will research it. The issue is that they want to save future life. They find out what went wrong. Because it's not a magic. They will research it, they find it. Once they find it, they go back to all the other planes and use it to correct future tragedies. Because you can correct the effect by going back to the cause. And when they finish correcting it, they save lives in future. But when things go wrong, we don't research to find out what is wrong. Instead of taking responsibility, we'll be looking for which demon or which witch is the wizard or which uncle is tying your lock.